Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramar Tefio on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience.
Hello, I'm Stuart Alexander, and once again, I would like to welcome our listeners to the Socialist Insight. And today we have joining us once again is Alan Mackey. He comes on our program once every other week and discusses a lot of interesting topics that are very relevant to the left. And also, we're taking a look at the 4th of July, since we have that holiday coming up. And people will be out celebrating with their families. They'll be enjoying fireworks and much celebration. But when we look at the 4th of July, we're going to be exploring that day. Is the 4th of July a day really worth celebrating when you look at many of the events that we see here in the 21st century? And Alan, once again, thanks for joining the program today.
Well, thanks for having me again, Stuart.
And Alan, you are probably the most likely person that I would have joining the program to discuss that particular topic, because, as I mentioned, many people would be out on the 4th of July celebrating with fireworks. They'd be enjoying barbecues. And a lot of times we don't think about what is really involved or what transpired back around that time when people were fighting for their independence. And today, we're almost in the same situation where we need to be fighting for our independence today when we consider the type of government that we're living under. Much of it has to do with capitalism, but beyond that, a totalitarian state that we're living in under this administration. But, Alan, first of all, I would just like to focus on, first of all, as I mentioned, our program today is what happened to our constitutional rights, liberty, and freedom in America. Because, Alan, today we really, when you really look at, if you try to explore how much freedom you have in America today, we are not really free citizens anymore, are we?
No, not really. Because, if you look around to see what's going on, you have people being arrested for taking chalk and putting slogans on a sidewalk outside of a bank, protesting what the bank is doing to people. You have people being arrested for posting signs against the wars in their front yards. You have people being arrested for passing out leaflets, and you have people being arrested for voicing their concerns through movements like the Occupy movement and the Idle No More movement. And then now we have in North Carolina the Moral Monday movement, hundreds of people being arrested because they're opposing this legislation that's very reactionary legislation that's taking us completely backwards, even making it so people will be knocked off of unemployment compensation. So, in my opinion, what's happened is that the United States Supreme Court, instead of, there was the king and the queen and everything that the people protested back when the Declaration of Independence was written. Now we have the United States Supreme Court replacing the king and queen with the corporations, making the corporations people. And this is causing us massive problems.
And essentially, Alan, that's what has happened. The oppression was coming from the king and the queen of that time, and now, as you mentioned, as corporations. And when I look at the Declaration of Independence, the reading of it, it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident. And most people they're not even aware of what the Declaration of Independence, many people are not even aware, what the circumstances were when this document came about. But it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain and unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. The consent of the governed. And of course, I could go on and on, but when you're talking about the rights of men or the rights of people, now we have, when you look at the rights of people, the rights of men, the rights of men and women, in this society, Congress has given corporations the same rights as people. Now, when we're talking about the rights of people, Alan, how does corporations even fit in the Declaration of Independence, according to the writers of this document?
Well, I don't, I think that Tom Paine and Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson would be turning their graves in anger if they knew what was going on in this country today. To call a corporation with billions of dollars in assets comparable to a person, you or me or, most of the people in this country, is just, it's mind-boggling. And what it's done is serve to allow Wall Street to get this further, stranglehold over us. And it's going to be very hard to free ourselves from this without, using the Declaration of Independence and throwing this Wall Street group out of power.
Well, obviously, they're not paying any attention. This group that's running the show now in Washington, they're not paying any attention to this administration other than to manipulate and to control them. They're only the functionaries of Washington. This administration, they're only the functionaries of Wall Street. Wall Street and the richest elite in the world, they're controlling every aspect of our government today. And when we say throw them out, basically they have a firm grip on this government and the ones that are running the government. So,
they have a firm grip, but that grip is based on money. If the people get together and decide that things need to change, large numbers of people will trump their money any day. And, we've got to take a serious look at who's running this country. And like you say, the Supreme Court and Congress are allowing these corporations to dominate us completely. Every aspect of our lives is being dominated by these Wall Street people now. I mean, you can't get away from it. It's like we're caught in this huge and a big web that we can't break free from. And it's only going to get worse the longer we allow this to go on.
And as I mentioned earlier, most people not even aware, many people not even aware that they're even losing their rights. They still believe that we're free as a nation. I mean, they're busy doing their texting, and they're checking their emails and don't even realize that their freedoms have just been completely invaded. Now, when we look at certain rights that we're supposed to be able to enjoy, such as through the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, I mean, all of these rights, Alan, have just been completely trampled on and has no meaning to this administration. None.
No, none at all. Just consider if somebody can be arrested for drawing some slogans using chalk on the sidewalk outside of a bank facing 13 years in prison, it's only a matter of time before you or I and other people begin to face similar charges for what we put out on the Internet and what we distribute in leaflets and what we write and say. After all, we have to realize in this country, freedom of speech has been under attack for literally ever since the Declaration of Independence was written. And during the First World War, Eugene Debs sat in prison simply for reading the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights to say that he had the right to speak out against an imperialist war. and for that they put him in prison. He was forced to run for presidency while he was sitting in prison and got only almost a million votes. What?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He may have won the election had he been free to travel around the country, but this is the way they prevented movements from developing, and they prevented people from the working people from coming to power. There's nothing in the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence that says only the wealthy have the right to have access to the levers of power. And in fact, you know, if you read these documents at all, you have to wonder, why would anybody even think that corporations have rights to the extent that they have the power to dominate us in, you know, every facet of our lives? This is ridiculous. I think that people are going to have to go back and start rereading the Declaration of Independence. They're going to start having to read the United States Constitution and Bill of Rights, and they're going to have to read the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which is actually a rider attached to our United States Constitution and Bill of Rights, because the United States approved that document. And, you know, we have to begin to consider that the rights that are being talked about, when they talk about the pursuit of happiness, I'll tell you, for a working person who doesn't have a job, there's not much happiness in this country.
No, none at all.
There's not just poverty. And people living in poverty are not very happy people, I can tell you that. Like we say here in Minnesota, people living in poverty aren't happy campers. And this situation can't go on. We've got governments that are concerned about everything imaginable when it comes to protecting Wall Street's interest and their profits, but the same government and these politicians won't lift a finger to make sure that the people in this country, the majority of the people in this country, you know, have the pursuit of happiness, have access to the pursuit of happiness, and the lives that kind of lives that are required, you know, jobs, decent education, good housing, access to transportation, access to health care. You know, these people don't care about any of this at all. It's like they have never read the Declaration of Independence or the United States Constitution or Bill of Rights. I'm sure 95% of the politicians in this country have not read the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And we've got to set them straight.
They'd be completely clueless. But, you know, when we look at many of these things, as I mentioned, when we talk about the rights that we should be enjoying and the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and much of this started with the Declaration of Independence when we were declaring our independence from Great Britain at that time. And after that, as I mentioned, then we had the Constitution. But when we look at the rights of individuals, when we look at our Bill of Rights, it says Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting of the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the rights of people to peacefully assemble and to petition the government for the redress of grievances. Now, we see, even when we look at our First Amendment rights, and this is one that has been just trampled all over by this government, and we've been seeing things get worse and worse and worse because supposedly we're fighting this war on terror. So now all of our rights as citizens, our freedoms that we have as citizens, all of this is being trampled on. But when we look at the First Amendment, this is something that we would be a just cause to be celebrating on the 4th of July. But we can't even celebrate something that simple. And Alan, I might even add that many of the churches are now being investigated by this government. They use it for their tax-exempt status, but we see in recent years that many churches are being investigated just because of their own religious practices.
Well, not only that, but a number of churches have become very socially involved, and those churches have become targets of these FBI red squads and intimidation and threats and everything else. So, you know, if you read the Declaration of Independence and then the First Amendment to the Bill of Rights, well, if you look at this long list of grievances that they alluded to in the Declaration of Independence. It's almost like we're going through the same grievances again today, only thing in a more intense manner. You know, a government that's much more sophisticated in oppressing the people. So, you know, they want to trample, or they're just like the kings and the queens. They want to take away our rights to discuss things. They want to take away our rights to even think. And, you know, this is moving in totally the opposite direction of what our country should be going in.
Well, that's a good point that you just brought up. It's come to a point where thinking in this country will quickly become against the law to think that you're a free thinker.
Well, yeah. It actually really already is. When people can't even, like in Little Falls, Minnesota, they had the banks and stuff had a sign put up that says, "We support our troops." Well, a woman in Little Falls, Robin Hensel, she put up signs supporting peace in her yard. And for that, the city is, you know, they had her arrested. They've had her thrown out of city council meetings just for talking about her right to display her signs with her message for peace. So, you
and
know,
where was she
what?
Displaying the sign?
In her yard.
Oh, in her yard?
Yeah, just like, you know, if you put up a sign for somebody to run for public office,
right.
You know, so-and-so for Congress, well, she put up a sign that saying that she was for peace. And they
and was she
told
arrested?
Her that,
and she was arrested for this.
Yeah, they told her that she had to take the signs down. Right now, she's in the courts right now fighting for her rights. So, you know, this you know, consider it. This is just for putting a sign in your yard saying that you're for peace.
Well,
and, you know, How many places in this country is this going on? And we don't really know, but we hear bits and pieces here and there about what's happening to people, and then we see these hundreds of people being arrested down there in North Carolina. I mean, you look at it, and the average person is thinking to themselves, what the heck are these people being arrested for? They're just standing there. You know, they could let those people stand there forever, and they're not hurting anything. Why are they being arrested, you know? And yet they're being criminalized because they're thinking that the government should be serving the people instead of the corporations.
And so much of this, the American people can't understand what is happening because they have devoted much of the entertainment that people look at, whether it's Facebook or looking at going through the internet or looking at television, their music, everything is designed to distract Americans from paying any attention about what is really happening in this society and how their rights are just being stripped away daily, their rights are being stripped away, and they're only being amused and not even understanding that, you know, this country has gone back more than 300 years. They have already gone past July 1776. They are already beyond that point.
Sure.
And Ellen, I just want to just focus on when we think about our rights and our freedoms, and some of the things that have been very devastating, I mean, just an outright attack on our freedoms, that how in the world could the American people just stand by and so freely just accept this Congress passing laws such as the Patriot Act? Could you explain to people, because, Alan, we explain it time and time again. We bring this up all the time, the Patriot Act. The phone should be ringing off the hook of people saying, I am fed up. And here the Patriot Act was a direct violation and an attack on our rights as citizens. But could you explain what the Patriot Act is and how it fits in with our celebration of the 4th of July?
Well, I don't know how it does fit in with
it
the celebration of the 4th of July. Because it's a total attack and an assault on our constitutional rights under the Bill of Rights. Homeland Security can do anything they want to people. I mean, people have no recourse whatsoever. If Homeland Security decides to take action against you for whatever reason they deem appropriate, you know, they've got total control over you. You have no say at all. You don't have any constitutional rights, and they will tell you. If you ask to call an attorney if they have you in custody, they will tell you, you don't have any right to attorney.
You don't have a right to do that.
Yeah, they will tell you directly, you don't have any constitutional rights. You know, what kind of country are we living in? We've got to begin to question this. And it seems like a lot of people, they don't begin to question things until something happens to them. And then
right.
all of a sudden, it becomes a grave injustice. Well, it is a grave injustice. But people are going to have to start to think this through and begin to look and see what's happening to other people and understand that when this government takes away the rights of some people, it takes away the rights of everyone.
Now, as I mentioned, you know, it's unfortunate the events that took place in 9/11, how, you know, many people, we had close to 3,000 people, they perished that day because of that act. But, Alan, when you consider the damaging effect on what has taken place, the government, what we have seen over the years where we have this shock and awe, what took place in 9/11, where the nation was completely thrown into shock. Everyone was glued to their TVs. They were glued to the radio. They couldn't think. For them to start, that was the first violation of many of our rights as citizens, and it was a violation because they say, you know, we are under attack. But since then, since 9/11, since September the 11th, Alan, it has been one attack after another that has been coming against our rights as citizens. But, Alan, why is the American public, why are they still asleep? It's been 12 years since this took place. But why are we still asleep and don't see the damaging effects that have been taking place from this government?
Well, I think it's because the American people don't understand the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence to start with. It all starts in our educational system. And people aren't being told the truth about why there was a rebellion in the first place back in 1776. And they've been told lies about the revolution. They've been told lies about the Civil War. They've been told lies about the labor movement. They've been told lies about the peace movement. Every day, if you look in the media, and this has been going on for decades now, it's just lie after lie after lie. You look at the people that recently demonstrated in South Africa against Obama's visit there. And, you know, it's almost impossible for the average person to even know that there were demonstrations, massive demonstrations against Obama when he was there. And that, so the American people are being denied access to a lot of this information. You really got to dig for it. And I know I posted quite a few articles on Facebook about the demonstrations that were taking place and why they were taking place in South Africa. And I had to spend hours digging that information up to post on Facebook. And I saw it posted in very few other places, usually. And a lot of times it happened that the only reason stuff got posted in other places was because I had fed the people the information to start with. But, you know, this is a serious situation. The whole media, the educational system, just lying and brainwashing the American people. And that's, I think, where it all starts. And people haven't been free to think through their problems because they've... you know, people are really, they're afraid of losing their jobs and everything, and they have a right to be afraid of losing their jobs because people actually do lose their jobs for saying things in disagreement with what this government is doing and what the corporations are doing. If you work
right,
at Walmart,
exactly.
You can't complain about your wages. You're going to be fired, you know. It's as simple
right.
as that.
And they don't need a reason to fire you. All they have to do is just say, we don't want you working here anymore.
Exactly. And then we have 2 million people in this country working in this hideous Indian game industry where people have no rights whatsoever, no constitutional rights, no rights under state or federal labor laws. You know, this is 2 million people, and the government gets away with this. This is a creation of the United States government, which if this were going on in China or any other country in the world, they would be screaming bloody murder that people's rights are being taken away from them. But right here in this country, our own government, the same members of Congress that pass all this legislation and make corporations citizens and everything else and make them people, well, these are the same politicians that created this Indian gaming industry, leaving 2 million people without any rights in the workplace. So, you know, it's total hypocrisy between what they preach and what they practice.
Now, Alan, what the next area I wanted to get into, we just spoke about the Patriot Act, and a lot of people don't understand. That was a blow right there. Supposedly an act that was an act to go after potential terrorists, but we could see that it really opened a door for them to go after American citizens and in the invasion of our privacy and to spy on us. And then we came out with something so devastating and equally damaging as the National Defense Authorization Act. Now, Alan, this one right here, we're talking about a president that was talking in 2007 and 2008, he was promising transparency. And we're going to talk a little bit about transparency when we talk about Snowden and Manning. But we had the National Defense Authorization Act when it came out. And that act in itself has gone even to greater lengths than what the Patriot Act did. This has actually opened up a door where Americans can be completely just spied on. And we see this with the communications with our cell phones, our texts, when we go into our homes, when we go into the workplace. But Alan, could you explain a little bit about the National Defense Authorization Act, the damaging effect of this piece of legislation?
Well, it allows the government to, literally arrest you, and they don't even have to tell you, and they can keep you in jail for an indeterminate amount of time, and they don't have to, bring you in before a court or anything else.
Is this already happening?
Well, Bradley Manning sitting in jail, and we have the situation with Snowden where the Espionage Act is being used. And so I guess you could say it is already happening.
It's already happening.
Yeah.
And no warrants are necessary, correct?
No warrants, no nothing. And
what power does this give the president?
The government can do what it wants. I mean, literally, the government can kill you if they deem you to be a terrorist or if they deem you to be engaged in activities that are inimical to the United States government. They've done this in other countries for years. I'm not exactly sure why the American people don't think that the United States government won't start killing people right here in this country, because they've been killing union leaders and people involved in various movements all over the world for years now. This was all exposed in a joint FBI and CIA report called The Family Jewels. You know, they tried to kill Fidel Castro like 70 times. And this is what the government admits to. You know, what right does this government have to try and kill Fidel Castro? You know, if they can kill Fidel Castro, what would make anybody in this country feel secure thinking that if they did the same thing and advocated the same things that Castro has advocated, that they wouldn't be put on a hit list too? And probably many people have been. We've seen people denied entry to the United States for their political beliefs. This has been going on for decades now. The former attorney general for the province of Manitoba was denied entrance into the United States because he was deemed to be a communist. That was Roland Penner, the attorney general for the province of Manitoba. And this was several decades ago. And they've tightened the borders up even more now. You know, we've heard that people from active in the movements in Greece that are opposing austerity measures there aren't being allowed into the United States. We've heard that a number of revolutionary activists from around the world aren't being allowed to come into the United States because they've been deemed to be terrorists. Nelson Mandela was on the terrorist watch list until 2008. And, here is a guy that's recognized the world over. What?
No, go on.
Here's a guy that's recognized the world over as a leader that who brought down the racist and fascist apartheid system, and this, for doing that, this government has considered him a terrorist. You know, so what does that tell us? When I look at Nelson Mandela, I see a George Washington, a Thomas Paine, a Crispus Attucks,
right.
The United States government sees an enemy. You know,
right.
And this, Condoleezza Rice, the reason she said that she wanted him taken off of this terrorist watch list was not because he wasn't a terrorist, but because it was causing an embarrassment to the United States. You know, so what does that tell us? It tells us that Nelson Mandela was taken off the terrorist watch list because he was a very high-profile person and the most one of the most popular, if not the most popular leader in the eyes of the people of the world. But what does this tell us about other people that can't get into this country because we may not know who they are because they're not as popular as Nelson Mandela, but represent the same kind of ideas that he represents for freedom and justice for mankind?
And you know, a lot of very interesting, once you go on these lists, quite possibly you could travel outside the country and never find your way back home.
Well, yeah, just like Snowden. He's had his American passport revoked. And they arbitrarily did that, no hearing or anything. They just took it away. You know, can they do this to somebody else? Well, if they get away with doing it to him, they can do it to anybody they want to. And that's what it amounts to.
And let's talk a little bit about Edward Snowden, because everyone, I live like in a somewhat conservative, years ago I said Marietta and Temecula was a very conservative part of California, and now you even see people demonstrating on the corner and they're, you know, supporting certain rights, you know, for the left. And when it comes to when you listen to people's talk, in these communities, I find so many people saying they're very supportive of Snowden and people being supportive of Bradley Manning. But Snowden, we have a president that said when he went into office that was going to be a presidency of transparency. And we have had everything, I mean, it's been anything but transparent. Now we have someone that is saying that the government is keeping all kinds of secrets about how it is spying on the American people. Now, when we look at this president, why people just went and voted him back into office just not even a year ago? Why is it that American people, when they see all this taking place, why aren't they holding this president accountable?
If we look at the figures, only about 25% of the eligible voters actually voted for Obama, because a large percentage of people never even voted. But and that would probably be pretty much comparable to the number of people that voted to maintain British rule over to this country while the revolutionaries are fighting for freedom from Britain. So it's not that much out of line, I don't think. But you know, with Obama, I think we got to listen very carefully to what he says and take note of what he says, because what he says and what he does are two different things. We can pretty much assume now that what Obama says is not going to be what he does. He's going to do just the opposite. If he says he's for transparency, that means he's for a totally closed government. If Obama says that he is for peace, we can assume that he's going to go to war after war, you know. And Obama Obama himself makes a mockery of the entire United States Constitution and Bill of Rights and everything the Declaration of Independence stands for, because you know, the kind of government that he's brought into place certainly isn't what Benjamin Franklin or Thomas Jefferson or Thomas Paine or Crispus Attucks died for. You know, these people were fighting for real transparency in government. They were fighting for a democratic government, and what we've gotten is just the opposite. You know, the majority of the American people, it's very clear now, the majority of the American people are for peace and reordering priorities in this country, and we're getting just the opposite. This is not democratic government by any stretch of the imagination, and Obama is the leader in this trampling and smothering of our democracy and our constitutional rights. What else can you say? People are going to have to understand that. If they want to wait and see what he's going to do next, it's going to be injury after injury, whether it's to the American people or somebody, you know, people overseas.
Now, I like to focus on, I want to get back to the Declaration of Independence just for a few minutes, because, you know, we had to consider what was taking place back in 1776, where we say, well, we need to have this document. we need to declare our independence. And we were saying that we were entitled to certain rights. And we says, among these rights, among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, while we're out on the 4th of July celebrating in the streets, celebrating with our fireworks, taking our days off, drinking our beer, or whatever else we're doing. But you have to consider, Alan, while we're celebrating, we're taking away the life, the liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for many other people in other countries. Explain, because,
people.
I mean, we see these things that are happening with drones every day.
Right.
Wake up, people. Wake up. With drones that are going and killing innocent people to fight this war on terror. But, Alan, it's so hypocritical. We look at this document in today's sense when we're celebrating life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and we're taking that very same thing away from thousands upon thousands and even nations around the world. Alan,
exactly.
I see a little bit of hypocrisy here. We shouldn't be celebrating.
Not just a little bit of hypocrisy, a major hypocrisy. You know, we fought against Ho Chi Minh, and all that Ho Chi Minh said that he wanted was a country that lived under a constitution like we had here in the United States. And, you know, we literally murdered millions of Vietnamese people, and 55,000 Americans lost their lives, and, you know, tens of thousands more came back wounded and mutilated. So, you know, and this country has been fighting these kinds of wars for 100 years now. I mean, what they did to the people in the Philippines back during the Spanish-American War, it was, you know, the worst kinds of, you know, I don't even know how you call it, but just terrible things that they did to the people. In fact, that's where they invented waterboarding, was in the Philippines. I just learned that recently. During the Spanish-American War, they waterboarded the Filipinos that wanted their freedom from imperialist rule. So, you know, you've got all these things that have been taking place now for 100 years, and imperialism has been getting stronger and stronger to a large extent. With the more wealth that these corporations have accumulated, they've been able to, you know, get this stranglehold over people all over the world. And people are having a tough time breaking free from that because they don't completely understand economics. They don't understand what imperialism is about. They don't understand. See, the people in this country don't understand right now, especially. They don't understand that when Obama talks about, you know, espionage and, you know, all this and terrorism, that the very people that freed up from British rule, the Tom Paines, the Thomas Jeffersons, the Benjamin Franklins, the George Washingtons, these people would have been prosecuted for treason and terror by people like Barack Obama, you know.
Exactly.
And they would have been considered terrorists. We've got to consider that. And people are going to have to start thinking in those terms. Who are these terrorists? You know, can we now deem anybody a terrorist that decides that they don't want a Wall Street corporation telling them what to do? You know? We see where they've described all kinds of people in this country now as terrorists. The word terrorist doesn't have any meaning except that you oppose what some banker or some corporation wants, the power that they want over you that you don't want them to have. You know, that is a terrorist.
Well, I think really what it boils down to, if you're not ignorant these days, then you're a terrorist. But
yeah,
and when I mean, if you're not in a shroud of ignorance, then you're on a watch list. Now, you know. Now, when I look at this, some of the things that we're confronted with, I mean, let's talk about totalitarian state. Now, when we look at so much that has taken place. And I, you know, quickly it comes to mind when I look at Germany, but it seems like we've even gone past that. We have surpassed where Germany is because now our technology is so much more sophisticated. They can track me just walking down the street. They know every time I go into the grocery store. They know every time when I crank up my car to go down the street. They know when I clock into work. They know when I walk across the yard because they have cameras around every business in this country. They know as soon as I walk across the yard where I'm working at. They know who's talking to who I am talking to on the other end of the line, whether they're a block away or whether they're 3,000 miles away. Now, Alan, when we talk about independence and freedom and the pursuit of happiness, people aren't aware that, you know, you have this happiness and independence, but it's coming at a price where you are being spied on 24/7.
Well, there will come a point where...
My question is, I mean, when I say a totalitarian state, are we there?
Well, we are there, I think. I think that the Nazi Gestapos would really have envied what Obama and, you know, these politicians are doing to us today. This is what the kind of society they were looking to create. And, you know, we should think about that, too, that, you know, when you look back at history, these Nazi Gestapos in Germany were doing the exact same things that Obama and these politicians and the media and everything are doing today here in the United States. And I know it was bad back after World War II with McCarthy and everything, when my dad got done fighting against Japanese imperialism. He came back to all this anti-communism and everything, and his first reaction was, well, who the heck really won the war? You know, and now it's gotten even worse. You know, what did people fight Hitler for if we got the same kind of people running our country today that Hitler had in power in Germany when they were committing all these crimes against the people and humanity? You know, drones, you know, Hitler could only dream about having a drone to go in and kill people. And here Obama has a hit list right on his desk and uses these drone attacks, and, you know, 90% of the time they don't even get the target that's intended, and we don't even know if the targets are legitimate or not, but they're killing a bunch of kids, they're killing their mothers, their fathers, their grandmas and grandpas, you know, they're hitting wedding parties. You know, what kind of nation have we become? We looked at, a lot of people have forgotten the little town of Lidice in Czechoslovakia where the when people protested what the Germans were doing, they took all the men and just hung them from the street lamps, you know, and shot them down. And, you know, is this the kind of society we want, where we have a president that thinks that he can just go into other countries and use a drone to begin killing people because no American is going to be killed in the process? That, if we get a kill a couple people here and a couple people there in the process of getting somebody that's supposedly our enemy, you know, it's just collateral damage, and what can you do about it? Nothing, you know. This is the way they think about a human life now in this country, the people in power. And this sure isn't has nothing to do with our Declaration of Independence and the pursuit of happiness. You know, if we have the right to live in happiness here in this country, people every place else in the world have the same right. And it just makes a mockery of it when we're doing the kinds of carrying out the kinds of crimes against humanity that the Obama administration is doing.
Well, I just want to mention very briefly, we do have Alan Mackey. He's joining our program once again. He comes on our program once every other week, and he discusses many of the topics that are relevant to the left. And really, I should say the things that Alan and myself, what we're discussing, should be relevant to anyone that value liberty, anyone that values being free. Because right now, all of our liberties and freedoms that we supposedly will be celebrating in just 3 days, all of those are not only under attack, but they are also in jeopardy. And Alan, thanks again for joining the program.
Well, I appreciate you having me.
I'm going to make please, go on. And I'm going to make an announcement in regards to us not being on for a couple of programs. But, Alan, go ahead and finish your thought.
Okay, I was just going to say that, you know, part of the Declaration of Independence gives people the right to form the kind of government that they think will give them the pursuit of happiness. And, you know, we've never had a discussion in this country, a real discussion as to what kind of system we even want You know, do we want capitalism? Do we want socialism? Do we want something else? We've never had this discussion, and I think the time is now here to have this discussion, because we can't continue down this capitalist road that's, you know, leading us into this abyss every way you turn, whether it's the destruction of our environment and global warming, or war after war after war, poverty on top of poverty, driving people, you know, from their homes. I mean, literally driving people from their homes, taking their homes away from them. What kind of happiness is this? You know, we've got to consider what kind of system we want to live under, and the Declaration of Independence says that we have the right to consider that.
And I think what happened in 2008, when there was a financial collapse that affected billions of homeowners around this country, I hold the banks totally accountable for that, because they engineered that. And it was only for the benefit of their wealth. Now they have reaped trillions of dollars, bailouts and favors from the government, and the government has been on their side, while at the same time homeowners and people that lost their properties, they were the ones that suffered as a result of that. Alan, we have a few minutes, and what I'm going to do is, because when we talk about the Declaration of Independence, celebrating all of this on the 4th of July, and many of us, when we're celebrating, we're going to be busy on our cell phones and on Facebook and doing our Twitters and just contacting each other, and we don't realize that we are in the constant surveillance. But, Alan, part of that is a lot of people don't realize, when you go to Facebook, even though I use it, you use it, and everybody I know uses it, once in a while I'll talk to 100 people and one person say, oh, no, I never use that, but they're still being watched in other ways. But even when you click that you like something that someone put out there about Bradley Manning or Snowden or something in regards to President Obama, you automatically, just by the mere fact that you place a like on something, you can be placed on a list just because you click that you like that.
Right.
Even when you click that someone is a friend, right away, potentially you can be put on a list just because you befriended someone on Facebook, someone that you don't even know, but you have clicked them as a friend. So even social media can be a means by which you can fall on some type of watch list. Am I correct?
That's correct. And the other thing about social media, these companies like Facebook and the Internet service providers, they don't even have to go pay any attention to the United States Constitution and Bill of Rights, because they're private corporations. And they can censor and ban any kind of discussion that they want. They can literally remove posts, and they have removed posts from posted
daily,
and other people, and they've suspended my accounts and everything else simply for the things that I've said. And anybody can read what I put on there, what you put on there, and people will wonder, well, why would they want to ban that? You know, these are things that should be up for discussion in a democratic and free society. So, you know, things aren't as free as what they pretend they are in this country. They talk big bastion of democracy.
Not to mention they have removed complete groups from Facebook just because they're communicating with each other.
Exactly.
When just doing journalism, writing an article, Alan, again, you know, this is something where you're just expressing yourself. But potentially, you know, this is something we consider should be a freedom. But also, this is considered a threat to this government. If we're talking about celebrating independence, how is that celebrating a freedom, even our First Amendment rights, when just writing an article or expressing something, you become a threat?
Well, this guy that wrote about Snowden, to show you how far this goes and what it does, this guy that wrote this article about Snowden, I forget, what's his name?
I think half the world already knows about this guy.
Yeah,
but
I
don't know his name.
Yeah, I forgot his name too. But anyways, he said the other day he was supposed to attend some conference here in this country, some kind of socialist conference, in fact. I forget where it was. But he said that he did the conference by video because he was afraid of what might happen to him if he enters the United States.
Oh, I thought you were referring to the one that was died in the mysterious accident only days after he knew that they were on to him, because he had indicated that he thought the FBI, he was telling people, like, don't contact me because they're already looking at me and they're looking at anyone that contacts me. Was that, so is someone different,
no, that's
correct?
Who is the guy that wrote the article in The Guardian about Snowden?
Right, that was the one that ended up dead, the young man. He was like around 32 years old or something like that, and he died in a mysterious automobile accident.
No, this is the journalist that, he's a popular journalist. I can't even think of his name now.
Okay, this
anyways,
is someone else.
He said that he wasn't going to come to the United States because he was afraid that he might be prosecuted.
He's outside of the U.S.
Chicago this past weekend. That was probably
what was that, Ruth Ann?
There was a socialist conference in Chicago this past weekend, which is probably what he was coming to.
Yeah, exactly.
So just reporting reporting that type of information.
Glenn Greenwald.
People are afraid.
Yeah, Greenwald's afraid to come back to this country. He's an American citizen, I think. But he's afraid to come to the United States because he's afraid that they're going to try and prosecute him and arrest him for writing the article that he did about Snowden.
Now, I realize the next one is definitely one that we've already talked about. Speaking out of, against the policies of this government, you automatically put on the list.
Yeah, exactly. The government's been doing this to people for years. They've had several million people on their list, and that includes, you know, people that were put on the list under the COINTELPRO program, the Communist Control Act, and all these other nefarious acts of democracy that this government engages in. You know, when you think about it, you know, a government is very insecure when it has to persecute and prosecute people for their political beliefs. And, you know, how much more blatant can it be that it's political beliefs when you call something the Communist Control Act? And then they take that and they, you know, go into the COINTELPRO program where they actively go into organizations to try and undermine them so that they can't, people can't do anything. You know, the same thing happened with the Occupy movement. The FBI had over 500 agents working in the Occupy movement to undermine the Occupy movement so they the people couldn't organize. And, you know, they've already admitted to doing this. What business is it of the government to tell people that they can't take positions in opposition to Wall Street's control of our society and our economy? You know, and yet the government is doing this. Our very Declaration of Independence says that the people have the right to be involved in all this decision-making process. And yet, here you have the United States government sending 500 FBI agents into the Occupy movement to disrupt and disorient it. You know, totally illegal.
Now, here's what I want to ask you about, Alan. Are you on a watch list just because you're a Muslim in this country?
Probably. I think most Muslims feel that they are on some kind of watch list. Whether they are or not really doesn't make any difference if they feel that way. It's an atmosphere that's been created. It's just like during the 1950s. Whether or not somebody was a communist really didn't make any difference. All the government had to do was say that they associated with communists or were thought to be a communist or might be a communist, and that was enough for that person to be considered a communist. Now, if you're a Muslim in this country today, with all that's going on, with what this government is doing around the world, you know, you have reason to believe. I think if I were a Muslim living in this country, I would be very fearful of what, you know, could happen to me and my children. And I think that a lot of people who are Muslims feel that way today. And you hear a lot of Muslims, they have all kinds of stories to tell about how their children are being harassed and even attacked in schools, you know, for no reason at all, other than this country has drummed up a campaign against Muslims. And, you know, what's the difference between a person being a Muslim or a Christian or a Jew? You know, it's just a different religion. And yet this country has drummed up this campaign against a whole group of people. I think it's probably the largest religion in the world. I'm not sure. But
second.
Second, okay, well, anyways, they've made the people that believe in the second largest religion, you know, the enemies of this country is what it amounts to. Even when you look at South Africa, the first thing the media picked up on was that Muslims wanted to have Obama arrested for war crimes, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That was, they didn't want to talk much about the demonstrations.
We didn't hear about that on that real quick. We didn't hear about that on the morning news.
It's you know, to me it's sickening that they would make people just because of their religious beliefs or their race or whatever targets. But you know, they've done this to Native American people for centuries now. Native American people have been victims of racism simply because they stood up to the United States military and objected to their lands and their resources being stolen. So they've become a permanent enemy of the United States government, forced onto reservations where they could be controlled by this rotten government.
Well, Alan, we have two more minutes, and just before I have Alan to give any closing remarks, because I want to ask you, Alan, when I do this announcement, should we be celebrating the 4th of July? But we'll be off the air for the next 2 weeks. Ruth Ann, which hosts and sponsors this program, and myself, we're taking just a very short break for 2 weeks. So for the next 2 weeks, we won't be on, but after that, we'll be continuing our programming. So just be looking, look forward to seeing us continuing our program 3 weeks from today. Ellen, should we be celebrating the 4th of July?
Well, I think we should be celebrating the 4th of July, but the way we should be celebrating the 4th of July is by struggling to defend our constitutional rights and our rights under the Bill of Rights and what the Declaration of Independence really stands for. That's what we should be celebrating, and part of that celebration should be intensifying our struggle to defend our rights.
And Alan, how can our listeners reach you?
Well, they can reach me. They can call me at on the phone, 218-386-2432, or they can Google my name, Alan Mackey, A-L-A-N-M-A-K-I, and you'll come to my blog, the Podunk blog, and all my contact information is there, email, and everything else.
And Alan, thanks again for joining the program, and I want to thank our listeners once again for joining us on the Socialist Insight, and we look forward to seeing you 3 weeks from today. Thanks again, and have a good day. Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Ruth.
Yep, thanks for having me, Stuart.
Good night.
Night.
Using ancient techniques taught by our ancestors, we express the spirit of tradition from cultures all across the planet. We blend by hand and we create with light and intention for use, using fragrance and subtle essences to awaken your sensuality, both physical and subtle, all for the mystical exploration of you. Daughters of Isis. Come find us.
You're listening to Aramarte Feo on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience.
Welcome to the Research Rabbit Hole Radio Show with Cynthia Hamill. Tonight we're covering a number of topics that are completely grazed over by mainstream media and the press for the most part. Tonight we delve deeper into the rabbit hole of information and cover the topic of targeted individuals with Dwight Mangum. We're waiting on Dwight to call in right now, so he is alert that we're having the show tonight, but maybe calling in at a different time or something. Maybe he's not called in exactly yet, so we're waiting on him to call in. But Ruth Ann, it's great to be back on the show with you, and it'll be great to chat with you until Dwight turns, I guess, gets the message.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah. So we've been covering a lot on this radio show, and I guess now's a good chance to catch up on what we've been covering. Of course, we started the radio show with Awakened Radio a year ago on the topic of chemtrails, and I delved pretty deeply down that rabbit hole, and the further that we went, this led into finding out that, you know, chemtrails are linked directly with directed energy weapons, which are applied to targeted individuals. So we've done a whole series of interviews with targeted individuals and people who are speaking out on behalf of this, and I've interviewed Dr. Robert Duncan and actually met him in Henderson, and he's a wonderful speaker and an author on this topic. So we've been covering a lot of his work on the show, bringing that in when we can, and also mentioning his book, which is called Project Soul Catcher, which is a great way to catch up and introduce yourself to what's really going on behind the chemtrail issue. So we've got a lot of people following the show from the chemtrail sites on Facebook, and a lot of people may not understand why we're talking about targeted individuals, but that's near the very bottom of the research rabbit hole. This is kind of what they're doing, and they're actually electromagnetizing the skies in order to zap the heck out of people. So that's what's going on. Who would guess, you know?
Yeah. I think what's impressive, and I think that people are amazed to find out that many of these targeted individuals that you've had on the show, the ones you know and all, you know, they're no different from any of us.
Exactly.
They haven't done anything big, bad, and ugly to the government or anything. They're just people. And so that just means it can happen to anyone. Without you really even knowing why you were picked.
Yes, there's a high percentage of women who've been selected for this program for different various reasons. And according to Dr. Robert Duncan's book, it's because a lot of people are malleable, they're easy to change, and they've got a certain brain pattern, and that's why they're selected for this type of non-consensual human testing. Mm-hmm. So it's been kind of horrifying to actually find out what's really going on behind the scenes and how many people have actually been targeted, and getting to meet different people who've been in this program. And for different various reasons, they've stepped into the program, you know, and it's amazing. There's copycat crimes out there, as well as stuff that looks like it's directly linked with the Department of Defense. So it's not just one mainstream thing. This could also be someone who wants your apartment or wants your property rights in the front of your house. We had on a lady named Maggie, who was a targeted individual, and her neighbors actually wanted her front yard, and so they began targeting her with electronic harassment just to get her to back off and basically let them have that property. So this is quite a crime that's going on, and a lot of people don't know about it. Of course, it's not being reported by our mainstream media because no one's picking up the ball on that, so
exactly.
We're doing the best we can with it.
But I would suggest that people do whatever it takes to actually just strengthen yourself. And I don't mean just physically, although that would be good too, but mentally, whether it has to do with religion, a certain path, meditation, whatever, so that if you are, in the first place, you may not be, because like Dr. Duncan says, a lot of women, they figure, are malleable, women who are on their own, et cetera, et cetera. But you know, if you manage to strengthen yourself, even if you're targeted, it's not going to make such an impact on you.
Right. Yes, I agree. And then the last show that we did, the lady that was on the show was going into a lot of different, you know, curative things that you can do just by eating the right thing and by cleansing and detoxing your system and also electromagnetizing, doing different things that kind of ground yourself, like just by walking in the grass without your shoes on can help you ground and release some of the energy.
Yes. So there are, I mean, it's not that we're totally helpless here, folks. And that's the worst thing for somebody to feel that they have totally no way to fight this, because there are things you can do. So don't be a victim. There's nothing quite as bad as a victim. Just don't become a victim. Even if something is done against you, you can fight back.
Right. And then one of the reasons that I had invited Dwight onto the show was because he's an electronic engineer with BMW and has actually come up with a way to earth yourself. And this is an electronic device. I can read you what he's written. And for those people who are into engineering and electrical engineering, this is going to make a lot more sense to you than it will to me. But if you actually saw the diagram, you can see what's going on with this. And I posted it to my Facebook page so you can get a good picture of the equipment that it takes and what you actually do to create this type of grounding. But it's called earthing. And earthing is a new discovery that has become prevalent in the past 3 years as a way to balance the body of free radicals that can damage cells on the molecular level. Throughout history, humans have walked barefoot and slept on the ground. But modern lifestyle, including the widespread use of insulated rubber or plastic-soled shoes, has disconnected us from the Earth's energy. And, of course, we no longer sleep on the ground. Fascinating new research has raised the possibility that the disconnect may actually contribute to chronic pain, fatigue, and poor sleep that plague so many people. The remedy for the disconnect is simple. Walk barefoot outdoors whenever possible and or sleep, work, or relax indoors in contact with the conductor that transfers the energy to your body. People who do this on a regular basis say that they sleep better, feel better, and have more energy during the day. The simple practice is called earthing. It's also known as grounding, and it is both a technology and a movement which is transforming lives across the planet. An abundance of free radicals affects the immune system, which makes you susceptible to aging and effects of aging and to viruses and sickness. Free radicals are also blamed for diseases such as dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease, and cancer. Free radicals are molecules in the cells of the body that have lost an electron, and they bounce around the body trying to rob an electron from another cell, causing damage and havoc as they go. One of the best and easiest ways to balance the free radicals in your body is to simply walk barefooted on the moist earth for 10 minutes a day. The earth is full of free electrons, and these are sucked up into the body to repair the damaged cell molecules. Another way to fully benefit the cure is to sleep with your own grounding device or wear it while lounging around the home. This also helps defend you from directed energy weapons attacks, since you are grounding all energy being directed to you. In this illustration, which he has that I've actually put up on my Facebook page, he will show you how to make a simple grounding device to use in your home. First, you will need to know if your home wiring is grounded properly. This would probably require bringing in an electrician. You can purchase this device at Lowe's for around $7, and it's in picture one. At the bottom of this diagram that I have, it plugs into the receptacle and has a chart to compare the correct wiring of the receptacle. You will also need to purchase a male replacement plug for a drop cord, which is shown in picture number 2, and a small roll of number 14 AWG panel wire, which is shown in picture number 3. you open the replacement plug and strip about an inch of the wire, place the bare copper wire on the green screw securely. You can take a pair of pliers and remove the hot pin in case the wire comes loose. You don't want to lighten yourself up, or I guess that means you don't want to light yourself up here. Like you don't want to shock the heck out of yourself, okay? So he's got a warning here to everybody. Next, strip about 8 inches of the other end of the wire. Tear off about 8 inches of aluminum foil. Here we go with the tin foil hat, people.
Oh,
okay.
No.
Pull out the tin foil hat, sir. Tear off about 8 inches of the aluminum foil. Lay the stripped wire about an inch along the width of the foil and fold into a 2-inch square. Then fold the foil over lengthwise into a 3-inch square. You can make the conductor whatever size suits you. So this sounds really interesting. Sounds like a new fashion trend to me, doesn't it, you, Ruthanne?
Yes.
And then he's got a second diagram showing another conductor, which I know nothing about, but I'm sure all you guys out there who are really into this are going to love all this stuff. So it's got a diagram of showing how to assemble the parts and to add to your conductor. So I have not gotten into this. This looks like a very interesting recipe.
What do you do with that one that you were describing that ends up a 3-inch square? Then what do you do with it?
Well, according to what we discussed in our preliminary interview, I think that you actually use a cording to ground around your waist somehow. So you're actually wearing this device in either like a necklace fashion or something that hangs on your body where it's grounding you literally to the house. And so it sounds like it could be like some type of new wardrobe appliance, you know?
I wonder if there's anything you could use besides aluminum foil. I hate that with such a passion because I'm so anti-aluminum.
There's bound to be another fashion trend that we could find. Probably like copper or something would also do the same trick.
Okay, copper foil. Okay, we'll have to find out if that would work. Yeah, we'll have to do this, Cynthia, and take pictures and, you know, the new...
Yeah, another fashion page. We can start our own Pinterest page on this.
Here you go.
Sounds like a great fashion trend. Yeah.
Okay. Because, well, I've heard of people who buy different things that are already made, and like pads and things to put on their bed and everything, and they're not exactly inexpensive. So I like the way this one sounds.
Yes, and then the other side effect that he said is that he's been doing this now for 4 years, and it apparently also grounds free radicals where he's not been sick. He hasn't had a cold. He hasn't had the flu for a total of 4 years since he's been wearing this gadget. So apparently, you know, it's good for fighting off any type of virus or anything like that. So it literally grounds you, and it creates like a free radical environment where you don't get sick as often.
Yeah, I could see that. I haven't had the flu or cold for years and years either, and I haven't been doing this, but I do want to check this out because it sounds fascinating. I just, the idea that you can make it yourself. Yeah, and the new fashion page.
Yeah.
Lovely. I do wish he would call in, but... We aren't sure. Sometimes people get times confused, and that could be. Although, you know, Mercury is retrograde right now. It started a couple of days ago. So, well, actually, it started the 26th. So, you know, that means that if you look in the sky, it looks like Mercury's going backwards. But it happens three times a year for about three and a half weeks each time, and Mercury pretty much controls transportation and communication. So that would just sort of fall right into it. You know, people get confused over time. Their vehicles have issues, that type of thing. Especially if Mercury's their ruling planet. And that's about all I know about astrology, because I really am not, I don't know much about astrology, but I do keep track of Mercury. So... We'll just blame it on Mercury trolling right now.
Yeah, I think I did a lot better before I knew that Mercury even went into retrograde, because I didn't plan my calendar around it. I went for a few years after an astrology person told me, oh, you know, don't do anything during Mercury retrograde. So I, like, put my life on hold the weeks of Mercury retrograde, and I was just like, what? What am I doing? I didn't know about this, and my life was going pretty well before, you know.
So, I do tell people, though, if you're going to sign contracts, you know, if you're going to sign a contract, you need to read it 20 times anyway. But if you're going to sign the contract and you can't wait till after Mercury goes direct, I mean, really, really comb it over and have somebody else comb it, too. That's about the only, you know, difference, just be aware kind of thing. But
oh,
contract,
yeah.
You know.
That makes sense. But, well, we've had a lot of really cool speakers on lately, and I guess now is as good a time as any to kind of recap and go over what we've been learning from everybody. Wouldn't you think, Ruthann?
I think it'd be a good thing to do. And it's actually, it's interesting, okay? But it's horrifying. You have really had some good people, and they should take that, you know, so many people think when you start mentioning this, they think, okay, these people are wearing the tinfoil hats. I mean, that these people are really just escapees from a loony bin or something. And the people you've had are very solid.
Yes.
They haven't escaped from anything. I mean, in fact, they're still targeted. But they're your next door neighbor, is who they are.
Yes, and it's been an amazing process to actually meet more people who are in this situation. So I went to the conference in Henderson, which was called the Super Soldier Conference with Mind Control, and that's where I actually got to meet Dr. Robert Duncan, and he gave a lecture there. And so that was a fabulous seminar, and it was great to actually see him in person, and it drew a lot of people there that were in the targeted individual category. So I met a ton of people, and I was amazed at how bright, you know, how many very intelligent, bright people were part of this program. So it was kind of an encouraging thing from that perspective, looking and seeing, you know, these are some of the cream of the crops. If I were, you know, just looking out across the general population, the people that were you know, targeted into this program seem to be pinging at a really high level. They're pretty smart and bright and attractive and have a lot on the ball. So I think that there's a definite thing to this program. I think they're selecting some really cool people. So I'm not sure what that's all about. It just seems like maybe they're...
I was just going to say, what I think it is, you know, there's no challenge working with some dumbass, really. And so if, you know, they target intelligent, bright people, it gives them more space to operate and to experiment rather than if you've got somebody whose IQ is 50. You know,
right.
This way they can learn more, too, about how the targeting works, because let's face it, this is all in the experimental field.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that's why they want to target intelligent people.
Yeah, and probably they're finding people, on the whole, the people that I have met are very articulate and mm-hmm. are very good communicators. They can say something mm-hmm. in a way that really grabs your attention and makes you listen and can spell out something pretty quickly. They're a cut above the average bear, so to speak. So I think that there may be something to that they're finding people who can clearly articulate their responses to this technology, and will probably do that in writing to friends, possibly on the internet, or to, you know, in speaking to friends or something. So they're going to get some sort of feedback from the people that they are targeting. So I think that that's kind of an interesting mention, something that I've noticed.
That totally makes sense. These people aren't, even though it may look to us like they're randomly picked, they're not.
Right.
And like you said, this is being done by not just secret agencies or government agencies or whatever, but it's being done by business.
Yes, we had Ron Gilman on, and he was actually targeted after an insurance claim, which is very common. And one of my other first guests on Awakened Radio, when I had the Research Rabbit Hole show with Awakened Radio, Tara was also a victim of insurance claim type things, where she and her husband were targeted after a car wreck on an insurance claim. So it's amazing how many different people are being attacked or being put into this program due to some type of business or copycat type crime. Like perhaps that company just gets a hold of this type of technology and then can actually use it to target people who filed an insurance claim, which sounds totally crazy, but this is a consistent story that I've heard with several targeted individuals that I've spoken to. So what do you think of that, Ruth Ann? Isn't that crazy?
I think it's horrifying myself. I mean, because, you know, somebody just, they're in an accident, somebody runs into them, they file claims, and then all of a sudden, besides everything that happened to them in the accident, they've got this other to worry about too.
Yeah, and this is a life-threatening deal. I mean, I don't think people realize the seriousness of this, because the technology that they have with this remote electronic harassment can literally stop and tase a heart in like 3 seconds. You can actually give somebody an immediate heart attack, 3-second stroke, a 3-second aneurysm, whatever. So not to mention that they can also slice through limbs with laser technology. So, you know, I've heard all these different interviews now with 15 and 20-minute interviews with a number of different targeted individuals, just trying to find the best people to come on my radio show. So now I've spoken with about 15 or so targeted individuals, along with the group that I met in Henderson, Nevada, of about 25 people who would meet in the mornings on Saturday and Sunday and all get together in a round table and discuss their individual side effects and their experiences as being a targeted individual. So this whole thing is like a whole new science. And my hat's off to Dr. Robert Duncan for all that he's done on this. And of course, he has a background where it appears that he was an architect actually on the inside of this program with the CIA and Department of Defense. So when Dr. Robert Duncan speaks on this and gives information on it, he's knowing what's going on from the inside of the program. But the program was so compartmentalized, they didn't really know that this was going to be used on American citizens and on civilians. They thought it would be used during wartime and wartime only. But what's actually happened is this is now being used on civilians for non-consensual human testing across the globe. And literally anywhere that they're chemtrailing now, this is happening. And, chemtrails are a global phenomenon. So if people want to check references and know where we're coming up with this, you can go to rents.com and pull up the article called What Chemtrails Really Are. And the woman who wrote this, her last name is Palin, P-A-L-I-N. And that article will give you a whole complete rundown of exactly what the chemtrail technology is all about and how it leads directly into directed energy weapons. So
There's so much connection, and like you, who've researched right down these different holes, I mean, you put it together. It's we're not talking about separate issues or incidents. This is all connected.
And oh, yeah. It's like a dot-to-dot, like a dot-to-dot drawing. You know, you have to get a little bit further back to see the big picture, and thank heavens I stumbled into that article, What Chemtrails Really Are, this one that we just mentioned from rents.com, because That woman did her homework. She pulled together this whole thing. It took me 8 months, and literally I gained like 40 pounds during that 8 months because I didn't even move till I figured out what was really going on with this. I didn't make it to the gym. I didn't get my dogs out for long walks. I was like determined, find out what's at the bottom of this rabbit hole. What's going on with this? Why are they spraying these chemtrails? Well, this is what's going on. This is what they're doing. So I'm all jazzed. I get to speak at the Paranoia Convention and conference with Ron Patton coming up in the middle of the month. So now I'm putting together this hour and a half presentation. So it's going to be my first speech on this whole thing. So I'm really fired up. Yay! It should be really fun, you know?
Where's the Paranoia Convention?
Well, they're having the Comic-Con conference, which is this huge comic book thing that happens in San Diego, and everybody and their dog comes in town that week. I mean, it's like the biggest of the biggest conferences and conventions that you can even imagine, and all these people dress up and like sci-fi and Star Wars and Star Trek outfits, a Batman, Batwoman, Catwoman, all this stuff. So people go crazy, and it's like this wild week in San Diego downtown. So Ron Patton is getting a conference room, I think in one of the Russian restaurants there, and we're going to have like a group of several different speakers that will speak that weekend, and it's right here on my Facebook. I guess I can read more about this. He's going to be featuring Dean Haglund from The X-Files and the Lone Gunman TV series. So there's going to be some cool people there. And it starts Saturday, July the 20th from 11 to 7 p.m. And then Sunday, July the 21st from 11 to 7 p.m. So it's going to be real exciting, and my speech is going to be on Saturday, I believe. Let me see if I can find that. I'm somewhere on the roster. Oh, I'm at 2:30, it looks like, on Sunday. They moved me to Sunday, so that'll be fun.
Well, and it goes direct on Saturday the 20th, so that should help. There's a full moon. Moon on Monday. But you're still under the full moon energy for a couple days ahead and after. So you've picked a great time.
Oh, yeah. Great. Now I just need to style my tinfoil hat and I'll be good to go.
There you go. Now, don't even worry about the hat. Let's just get this little grounding device ready.
Oh, yeah. I'll have a new necklace to wear.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now tell me what you think, because I've talked to several people about this. You know, over the past few months, we've had a lot of, supposed shootings. And, I mean, not that there isn't people that have been killed, because there are. But like Sandy Hook and some of these different things, what about this? Do you think that there is directed energy involved in these?
Well, I just came across this jewel of wisdom. Dr. Robert Duncan has a lot up his sleeve, and every time he does one of these radio shows, he's got some really good information in them. And I found one that I had not heard yet that somebody posted on Facebook this past week, and I went through that. And it's an interview that was produced by Alex Ansary, A-N-S-A-R-Y. And his show is called Outside the Box Radio Show. And he actually did like a live TV presentation and then brought in Dr. Robert Duncan in a radio show format to give an interview. And in this format that you can find under Outside the Box number 98 featuring Dr. Robert Duncan on YouTube, he goes into this. And he goes into the fact that Virginia Tech had this shooting at this time, I think maybe a couple of years ago. This is probably when they did the interview. And he was giving information on the fact that, of course, directed energy weapons can drive someone to do a Manchurian candidate type thing, where they can, you know, be a programmed assassin to go in and, have a cue word or a code word where they just start firing. You know, they're a regular person 1 minute, and then they flip a switch and do some type of word or code word or something, and then, you know, then they're firing, you know, into a crowd or doing whatever they're programmed to do. So this was an interesting aspect of that interview, as well as what he got into with the technology, which I've been delving into more recently, getting ready for the speech. But one of the aspects of, you know, the targeted individual thing is that they can literally skew people's perception of, say, a horizon line. Like, say you have a pilot who's flying a plane, and they're anticipating a horizon to be on one certain level, and that can be skewed with this technology. They can mess with somebody's total balance and perception and, you know, their total awareness. They can even do some type of holographic image or something that appears in the person's mind and is coming out like it's an actual vision. So they can do 3D holographic devices with this, and people can see different things. In fact, he was even linking JFK's son's death, the possible airline crash, to the fact that, who knows? I mean, this technology is actually capable of having someone in a plane perceive the horizon line to be totally different and skewed from what it really is. So, in other words, when he was in the plane flying, he could have been misdirected, and with that type of directed energy weapon attack, it could have actually caused him to misjudge the horizon and to have crashed the plane. And he also used the example of Princess Diana's driver, that whole incident in the tunnel in France could have actually been an issue dealing with directed energy weapons. Somebody could have actually hit the driver with a directed energy weapons attack, causing him to have that type of car wreck within that tunnel. And then, of course, the latest information that I posted last week on my Facebook was in regards to DARPA technology. And a woman comes out. In fact, they labeled her like computer geek. They didn't even use her real name. But it's on YouTube, and you can look it up under DARPA and under car wreck. But the technology that they have within cars, computers, airplane computers, any type of transportation that uses a computer system can now be taken over and hacked by an outside source where it can be led into a complete crash. So this technology is unbelievable. They have access to anything that they want if they want to direct someone into a car crash or to have a speeding car that doesn't shut off and doesn't brake or the brakes cut. And even Ron Gilman went into this, where he's been under several different attacks where while he's driving his automobile, they've actually clipped stuff within the car to try to make him wreck. And he's talked for a couple of hours on my radio show about that, and about the different things that can actually happen remotely, where remotely they can be deconstructing your car before you even go out to the car. So different things can happen. So this technology is profound, and the more that you go into this rabbit hole, the more you realize, oh, my gosh, I mean, this is over the top. It's unbelievable what they can do with this.
Right. This is kind
scary.
Of thing that people think is still science fiction. You know, they would see something on TV or read a book and think, wow, that's amazing. You know, what are those people thinking? You know, and they don't realize it's now. This is it. We're living it.
Yes, I think a lot of the Hollywood movies have tried to kind of leak this information. Like, you see the movie like Minority Report with Tom Cruise in it, and that whole show is loaded with information that gives you technological breakthroughs on what they're really capable of. They have an incident where they got like three psychics that are laying face up in this pool of water, and they're all coming up with psychic impressions of what's actually going on, and they're designed actually to stop crimes. It's called pre-crime in the movie, and they see a vision of something that will happen before an actual crime takes place, or a homicide, or you know, some type of accident or something like that. So they're able to drop this golf-sized ball in the hand of Tom Cruise, who's kind of like this pre-crime investigator who can see things on a screen and will be able to project and know the GPS route and the availability of where to find these people. But this technology can do this now. They're actually able to instantaneously read people's thoughts, and this is faster than the speed of light. This is scalar energy. So the technology that they're using to access all this is Tesla's scalar wave. So it's much faster even than the speed of light. They can actually zap someone the very second that they're having a thought. So part of what they're doing with the targeted individual training is doing conditioning and I guess like Shock the Monkey. Remember that song, Shock the Monkey? You know,
yeah.
That big 80s song? That's kind of what they're doing with this. They're actually shocking people and conditioning them as if they were a Skinner rat in a cage.
Well, it was horrid then, and it's horrid now. There's nothing good about this. Well, since it is so fast, maybe while you are having a thought, they can actually redirect that very thought rather than putting a different thought in your head. They can actually do it while you're thinking it.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how all of that works, but I do know that they're using some type of like that Tony Robbins, what does he call it? It's like the neural programming.
NLP, neuro-linguistic.
Yeah.
NLP,
neuro-linguistic programming. They're using parts of that and aspects of that, it appears, because they're using some type of neural pathway. And Dr. Robert Duncan could fill you in a lot more on this because of his background, but he's in a touchy position because he can't reveal too much because it puts his life and it puts his safety at risk because he was on the inside of the program. So he becomes a whistleblower. I'm an investigative reporter coming at it from, I know nothing about this, and I'm just exploring it, you know, trying to figure out what the heck's going on here. So I've got a different perspective than he does. So it's interesting to have different people speaking out on this.
Right, with what they feel relatively safe, or even if they don't feel safe stating, they're willing to anyway. So everybody has, some different boundaries in there. That makes sense.
Yes, yeah. And it's a serious topic. I really feel like out of everything that we've had going, since I've been alive, I mean, we've had some heavy-duty stuff going on, but if people only knew about this, this is such a civil and human rights violation that it would precede what Gandhi fought for and what Martin Luther King fought for, because this is the whole human race at stake. We're not just talking about certain, groups or something like that. This is like every person on the planet could fall under this, and including our congressional reps. No wonder they voted for the NDAA bill. They were probably all mind-programmed. You know, no telling what they've been, up against. So you wonder why they can all vote for certain things and snore through bills that they should have read before they sign. And perhaps they were mind-controlled. You never know.
They don't read their bills. That is one thing. Also, we can't put everything on this because they're actually, those lobbyists really have some control there, too. I'm not saying that some of them haven't been, but money talks a lot. So when it comes to that, that would be giving them sort of an out if they were under some type of mind control. And I really don't think that we need to give them any kind of an out because I think that they are just doing such a lousy job. But it is possible that some of them have been, and some of the ones maybe who have pushed for some of these ridiculous bills that, even their own party thinks are wrong, and then, they get something going and all of a sudden people are jumping on. The last, I don't know how many years, it's been amazing what has happened. how our rights have been taken away by our congressional and Senate people. And then, like you're saying, just your rights, because you file an insurance claim, so you may have some kind of targeted individual status because of that. So it's a very interesting time we're living in, Cynthia.
Yeah, it's incredibly interesting. And I also feel like they, whoever they are, would not be pushing things to the limit if they didn't have this technology to back them up. I really do feel like they're taking a lot more gutsy risk knowing that they've got a way to zap people. So it's just amazing what they're able to do and get away with.
Yeah, well, and so that's why it's so important for like shows like yours with interviews with these people. It's very important to get out there. And the speech you're going to give, that's going to be exciting. So we want to hear it. Hopefully somebody's going to be taping the whole thing. Have you heard about
I've got two of my film buddies that are going to be there filming it. So hopefully all that will go well, and they're excited about it. I'm excited about it. It should be really cool. So I'm just hoping I can get over saying, and you know.
It'll be fine.
I've gone to like three Toastmasters, and I think I've almost gotten over the uhs a little bit, you know.
Yeah. So Toastmasters, okay, I've heard of them for years.
Yeah, they have a really good group in North County, so I've gone to like three different meetings, and these people are really into it. You know, if you want to check out a Toastmasters, this is there are some serious people out there. They're taking it, you know, 2 or 3 years in a row, and they're really smooth up there. It's amazing. The type of things that you hear just in like a 2-hour type presentation. It's pretty cool.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know how large the towns have to be to have the organization there, but it's always sounded interesting to me, like something I should get involved in. So I'm glad you're doing that, and it's helped you already.
Yeah, it has. I think some of it is just like just realizing, you know, that maybe I don't need to say I don't say that when I'm talking to my friends on the phone. Why should I say that when I'm on the radio, you know, or when I'm in front of a crowd or something? I just need to kind of get over it, you know, and move forward. But a lot of this has just caught me off guard. It was like I wrote an article that took off, and then I got a 15-minute interview. And that went well. And then she said, well, why don't you do a 2-hour radio show? And I was like, well, why not, you know? And so I was like, well, somebody's got to speak up about this topic. Somebody's got to do something. And nobody's doing it, you know? It's like you can't wait for the mainstream press to do anything about this. So, okay, if somebody's got to do it, you're up to bat. Go, you know? So that's when I decided, okay, somebody's got to do it. It's going to be me. Okay, just get on the air, do it, you know. And you just fly by the seat of your pants. Like the first couple of interviews I did, I was just scared to death, and I totally botched up my interviews. And, you know, you just move on. You move forward. It's like just, you know,
well,
go with it.
Exactly. And we've all heard that. If not now, when? If not me, who? If not this, what, that kind of thing. And so it just comes down, yes, do it. You know, take
the
step. Either one, because we need so many voices out there. And what might, something you say or a guest you have may be what really flips that light bulb on for a listener. And we never know what's going to appeal to who. So we just have to keep putting it out there. And no, because people tell us that, oh, you know, so-and-so, when they said that, I understood. I got it. I finally got it. They'll tell me, you know, I never really understood why you were so adamant on this one topic. And then all of a sudden, I got it. And I'm going, thank God, you know, it, you just don't know what's going to do it. So we've got
that's
to keep
very
it
true.
There. Just put it out, put it out, put it out. And it's not going to, even when we think it's falling on just, you know, bad soil, whatever, it's not really. I mean, somebody is hearing it or it's adding up in their head. And if we didn't trigger the light bulb, we help build the base for when somebody else said something that triggered the light bulb, they already had the base because we helped build it.
Yes, oh. Definitely. And you know, one of the neatest things that I found with this whole chemtrail thing, as horrible as it is, it's like we're getting sprayed like we're, you know, cockroaches by a can of Raid or something with these planes flying over our heads 24/7. Yeah. But, I mean, the best part about this has been all the cool people that really care about the Earth. I mean, yeah. I've met so many cool people, and so many cool people are in this targeted individual thing. It's just unbelievable, the cool people. So, you know, who would guess it would take something like this to bring people together? But the best part about this has just been finding other people that really, really care. So, you know, I think that's the silver lining here. It's just bound to be, you know.
That's what gives you hope, because we are connected. And when we find something like that, it's like, wow. And then Ron, with the group he has in Seattle, I believe, of people who probably don't talk to a lot of other people about this, but he's found these people and put this group together. That's really important. So
yeah,
it does. It, just like the speech you're giving at the convention and the ones that you went to, it's good to have some kind of outlets where people can get together because they may not be telling their family. They may have tried to broach it with their family and that they got that look. Or with their friends, and they got that, oh, come on, get off it, you know, you crazy man kind of thing. So when
exactly.
These are venues, these are areas where people can get together. They know they're not crazy. And, you know, be with other people. The support that they get is amazing. And it in numbers, their strength. So
yeah, I think one of the most interesting thing about this whole technology is that it's invisible. And it's the total plausible deniability, and it's a weapon system that is based on plausible deniability where there is no trace that this has ever happened to people. Even somebody doing an autopsy on someone who would have been killed and literally electronically harassed to death with torture, they would never show this even in an autopsy. So It's one of those things where you've got to rely on a group of people to come forward and talk about this and bring this, you know, expose it to the light, because there's not going to be a way that we can convince courts of laws, attorneys, juries, legislators, Congress to actually shut down this practice until we come together as a group and tell our individual stories. So it's a profound experience to see how this type of thing is working and to see the people that have come forward and what their message is. And everybody's got a different story. Every person is coming from a different place, and each crime is specific to itself. So it's not like it's one big thing, like everybody's on the same page doing the same thing. So it's an amazing process to just see that people are coming together and speaking out on something that's incredibly important. And the way I feel about it is, if we don't speak up now, what will happen to the later generations? I mean, they're going to be completely robotizing people, if that's a word, you know. That's, I probably just coined a new word there, but making robots out of people, you know.
Yeah. No, it's important. Don't wait for somebody else to do it, truly. Do it now, because it will only get worse. The more they get by with, the more they'll do, the more people will be affected. Like you said, then we'll have a generation from here on out of just robots, basically. So, I mean, we've got enough of that going on. We don't need any more. And by that, I mean just the people who've been dummied down. by TV, you know, that's it. TV and movie stars, that's all they're interested in kind of thing. We've got enough of them. We've got to break through to them. So I urge everybody who's a victim, or I shouldn't use that word because I don't like the word victim, but who has been attempted victimization by directed energy, the targeted individuals, to, if you don't want to come forward totally all the way right now, you know, start looking around, find a couple other people you can talk to who are also in the same position, because you know, you start getting stronger when you're with other people.
Yeah, that's what I was seeing at that conference. It was amazing to see the strength that people had just talking out in a group of like 20, you know, or so people, 12 to 20 people, and the support that was coming out of that. It was a fantastic morning to start your day and see other people sharing a story that is a very difficult story to explain in a lot of circles, but people were just coming out and telling their story just as it was. And again, I want to mention Dr. Robert Duncan's interview that I just heard yesterday, which I thought was profound, on the Outside the Box radio show with Alex Ansari, because he goes into a lot of different details that I've not heard him discuss before on other topics. So that interview was really good.
Could you spell Alex's last name, please, Cynthia?
Sure. It's Ansary.
Okay.
And his show is called Outside the Box Radio Show.
Right. So I think that would be worth looking into. Like you said, this was even new to you, but you think it was done a couple years ago.
Yeah, the information that I heard on this was interesting, because he was actually going into the Manchurian Canada issue, because they were talking about the technology that would have taken place at the Virginia Tech during a shooting incident. So it mirrored the Sandy Hook incident and the Aurora incident with the Batman movie theater, and like this possible Boston Marathon incident. So it does appear that they can stage these events.
Exactly. And I was mentioning that to somebody, I believe it was last weekend, not this passing, but the one before. And he's open-minded enough, but he was quite skeptical. And, you know, I mean, I wasn't trying to hit him over the head. I was just trying to lead him there. He said, you think that those were staged? And I said, beyond a doubt, in some way or other. I just don't believe that what we got was the true story.
Yes, I think a lot of people have been coming around after these latest false flag operations came out. You know, that's another way to define that, where it's a false flag, where it looks like it's set up for one thing, but then look how fast they were mentioning gun rights after all this stuff. I mean, that's not a coincidence.
Absolutely not. That's what I told a couple of different people. It's like all you have to do is really be open and try to, you know, catch the news from here and there, not necessarily mainstream news in the United States, but it all, you can put it together. You're an intelligent person. You can put it together, even if somebody else isn't, but you're getting news from here and here, and you start to see there's a pattern. And just always go back to ask yourself about the money, like, where's the money, and where's the power?
Yeah, definitely. And who benefits from this?
Yeah, exactly. Who is going to benefit?
Yeah.
And then you pick up a piece of information from news in some other country, and then you put it with this one, and it's like, okay, got it. So it's really almost like a full-time job, though, Cynthia. I mean, you need to know some geography and politics from many places in the world. And some religion, and I mean, you know, it's just the more I learn, the more I know. Oh my God, there's so much more I need to know.
Yeah, I hear you.
Stop learning.
Yeah. The rabbit hole goes deep. It's like you think you hit one level, and it's like that just opens the door to 1,000 new doors. You know, it's like this is a never-ending rabbit hole.
For sure.
So it's been exciting. That part I really like. So there must be something in my astrology chart that's like, yeah, let's go down the rabbit hole. Let's see what's down here. You know. So I can totally get into that, and that's kept me going with all this research and finding, you know, new answers to the questions that I've got, and I'm just trying to help people because, I mean, God only knows, we've got to put an end to this stuff. A targeted individual thing is just completely over the top. I mean, who would even guess what they're up to with this?
Well, right, and I still don't watch that many movies, and I didn't growing up, and I didn't read science fiction because it just sort of bothered me, and it was like, wow, I would have thought that what's happening now, if I would have read it, I would have said, oh, God. I mean, I like books that have reality in them, you know, something that could really happen. So I would not have liked reading this because I would have not even considered that it would happen, you know, I mean, when I was like a teenager or something. And now it's like, wow, but it is happening. This is reality. So it's still that jump. It's like, wow. Those in power in different areas too. Like we said, it's not just the political ones, it's the business. And don't ever kid yourself, religion's in there too.
Oh, exactly.
Religion is very political. So, you know, they can come at you from all these different areas, and they're not working together necessarily, not that they wouldn't or couldn't, but they're not necessarily, because they have different agendas too, or at least
definitely
to get where they want to go as far as what their agenda is. So, but it's all about control. It is. So you just figure out, okay, what kind of control? I mean, do they want me to shut up? Do they want me to do this? Are they trying to implant me to go, you know, murder whatever? It's very scary stuff. But the more it gets out, the more people will understand and not be so terrified when they start getting those strange thoughts or visions in their head. Because that must be very scary at first. Because I think a lot of people actually did think that they were losing it.
Yes, I think if you didn't have access to Google skills and you were like on a desert island and you didn't know, you had no communication skills or a way to actually figure this stuff out, I mean, this could literally drive you insane. But if you've got access to a computer and can, you know, start researching all this stuff, Frey microwave hearing, the stuff when you hear voices in your head, was actually created in 1958. And so that technology is pretty well cooked. They've been working with that for, you know, a number of years. So it's a complete science. It sounds like a freaking voice of God in your head. So
it's
according to what everybody said.
Right. It's called VLG, voice of God.
Yes. V2K.
Yeah. So
voice
like,
to skull.
Oh. This is something else. But our time is almost up. We are sorry that Dwight didn't make it, and hopefully he will get here soon. But
well, timing's always perfect. I enjoyed the conversation anyway, and I think we needed to review a lot of stuff that we've been talking about and kind of reframe it for people where everybody can see the big picture. So I enjoyed it, Ruthann. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And we're going to be off for a couple of weeks, but you will be back on the 22nd.
Okay, great. I'll talk with you then. Take care, Ruthann. Have a great vacation.
You too. All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.